That was a blessing. I could listen to that song all the time. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. I've got more pages up here than I know what to do with. Could be a long service, amen? But if I lose my place, it could be very short too. Christmas is such a wonderful, wonderful time, amen? And we think of the reality of Christmas and the birth of our Savior, how he came into the world, and just such a blessing. Galatians chapter 4, let's read one verse, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, the fullness of time. Father, I pray that you'd bless your word today. May it be precious in the minds of everyone here, the hearts. May you minister to us. And Father, I pray that we would worship you in this service. I pray that our hearts would be so knit to yours. Thank you for sending our Savior into this world. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for everybody who's saved here today. We just rejoice in that great salvation. Bless your word now as we preach and as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when the fullness of time was come, in verse 4, it says, or verse 2, it says, the time appointed of the Father. God keeps his appointments. As you go through the scripture, you have all kinds of examples of how God to the second did his work, and how he did his work in all of our lives. In Genesis chapter 5, you don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. I'll just read quickly some verses. There was a man by the name of Methuselah. He's the oldest guy that ever lived, 969 years old. And his name means, when he dies, it shall be sent. When he dies, it shall be sent. That's the meaning of his name. Well, Methuselah had a son when he was 187 years old. His name was Lamech. And Lamech had a son when he was 182 years old. That's 369 years for both of those. And the son that Lamech had, his name was Noah. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 6, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. 600 and the 369 comes to 969. When he dies, it shall be sent. And you go through the scripture like that, and you can see all of these examples. For example, Exodus chapter 12. This is when the nation of Israel was coming out of Egypt. This is when the last plague was, the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. And they took the blood of the lamb, which is a picture of our Lord. They took the blood of the lamb and they put it on the two side doorposts and over the top, picture of the cross. And in the scripture there it says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's a song we sing in church too. And it's the song of the Passover. It's the song of that lamb, which is such a blessing. But listen to this text, Exodus 12 and verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Stephen references this in Acts chapter 7 when he's preaching his message. The Apostle Paul mentions it in Galatians chapter 3. But there was a promise made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And it says, I will bless, I'll make a great and mighty nation out of this people, and I'll bless them through thy seed. But he says, I'm going to make a great and mighty nation. And one commentator writes this, the first day of the march of Abraham's seed towards Canaan was 430 years, it should seem to a day, from the promise made to Abraham that I will make of thee a great and mighty nation. And so you put all of that together, the timelines and how it's explained. You come to Mark chapter 15, verse 35. Christ was crucified during Passover. He was the Passover lamb, and he was being crucified. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I mean, you can put the Bible together like that all the time, and you find these timelines. We're creatures of time. God is not a creature of time. Amen? It's no time. And once we get to heaven, there isn't going to be any time. You won't get older. Amen? That's a blessing. Amen? That's a real blessing. Anyway, that is such a blessing. James chapter 5, verse 17. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That story is told in 1 Kings chapter 17. Exactly, 3 years and 6 months. You have Jeremiah, who was a pre-exilic prophet. He prophesied before the exile, before the Babylonian captivity, which was 70 years long. And in Jeremiah 25:11, he said this, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. That's recorded in history, 70 years. He mentioned 70 years. But he also says in Jeremiah 29:10, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place." 70 years. Before it happened, God prophesied it. It ended at just exactly the time that God said it would end. Amen? And they were in Babylonian captivity because of idolatry, but they learned a lot through that captivity. We have the tribulation period. Thank God we're not in it now. Amen? Thank God we're not going to go through it. And you have the record of it in the book of Revelation. But in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24, and I can only just touch this. We taught this in Sunday school. So the people that were in Sunday school, or maybe you learned this somewhere else, you probably understand this. But in Daniel 9:24, prophetically about the tribulation period, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. 70 weeks. Each day is a year at that. And again, I can't go into all of that. The scripture proves it out. But that 70 weeks had to do with the nation of Israel. That comes to 490 years. There is 1 week that has not been fulfilled yet. That will be fulfilled during the tribulation period, 7 years. 1 week, 7 years. So the Bible teaches all that, and it's easy to get charts and understand all of that. That's a blessing to teach. Daniel 9:27, "And he," the Antichrist, that's the context, "shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week," for 7 years. And it says, "And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Jesus referred to that in Matthew chapter 24. And he referred to this verse here that we read in the book of Daniel. We find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. That the Antichrist is going to go into the temple. Obviously, it's not built yet. Amen? You couldn't keep that a secret. But anyway, he goes into the temple, and he says, "As God," and he takes the authority of God, and he claims to be God. But he does that in the middle of the tribulation period. So we read in Daniel that the Antichrist makes a covenant for 1 week, for 7 years. And in the midst of that week, Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and other places, he goes into the temple in the middle of the tribulation period. And then the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period is known as the Great Tribulation. Now, I said all of that to say this. Now it's time to wake up. Amen? You clicked all of that off. But if you get the DVD or the CD, You can study this. Amen. Our DVDs are only $59.99. So you can get two for $100. Amen. In the middle of the tribulation period, the Bible is so clear on this. And it says in Revelation 11 and Revelation 13 that it is 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years. 3.5 years is right in the middle of the tribulation period. And you can read those verses because they have to do with this. 1260 days, Revelation 12, Revelation 11, comes to 3.5 years. It says months, it says days, and here's another one. Time, times, and half a time. Time, one. Times, you add two to that, and I can't do a half a time. But that's 3.5 years, that's Revelation 12 and Daniel chapter 7. See how precise the Bible is? And God takes an Old Testament book, Daniel, and he takes a New Testament book, the book of Revelation, written hundreds and hundreds of years apart, and he puts them all together like only God can do. Amen? In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. This was the time appointed of the Father. It was a plan. So Christmas, we're going to celebrate it next Sunday. But God sent his Son into this world. Amen? Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That is such a blessing for us. But back to the birth of our Savior, it happened exactly when God wanted it to happen, the time appointed of the Father. Think of everything that had to be fulfilled before the birth of Christ. And there are all kinds of prophecies, and they were all fulfilled at the birth of Christ. Isaiah 7:14, Old Testament. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Boy, the virgin birth is another just amazing thing that God put together. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. That's Jesus Christ. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Just so many scriptures that prove that. Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2. I know you know this by heart, because if you were a child in Sunday school, you had to memorize this for programs. You had maybe five verses, maybe you did the whole chapter. Amen. Well, we don't even need, let's just all say it together from memory. I'm kidding. That was a long time ago in a faraway land, right? So Luke chapter 2, let's begin in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Boy, what a coincidence. Man, that is such a coincidence. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. That prophesied that. And so this man is, okay, let's do this taxing. That was all of God. It goes on and it says, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. All kinds of prophecy there. Then it goes into the story of the shepherds. It's just such a blessing to see the Bible come together like that. The time appointed of the Father, God sent his Son, sent forth his Son. In 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. John chapter 3, verse 17, and God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You have the story of the life of Christ. You have the story of the birth of Christ. You have the story of the death of Christ. We have the story in the Bible of the second coming of Christ. It's all about our Savior. This is something to get excited about. Amen? And we'll see that by the end of the message. The Gospels tell all of these things. And the promise of His second coming, it's all through the Scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I'm going to receive you unto myself. That's what He said. So He's coming back. Let me give you some prophecies after the birth. He's going to die for our sins. Jesus would enter Jerusalem on a donkey's colt, Matthew 21, Zechariah 9. He would be betrayed by a friend, John 13, Psalm 41. The betrayal would be for 30 pieces of silver, Matthew 26, Zechariah 11. The money would be used to purchase the potter's field, Matthew 27, Zechariah 11. The Messiah would die a sacrificial death for us, Matthew 27, 2 Corinthians 5, Daniel 9, Isaiah 53. He would die with criminals, but His burial would be with the wealthy, Matthew 27, Luke 23, Isaiah 53. He would raise from the grave, from the dead, Matthew 28, Psalm 16, Isaiah 53. He would say certain words on the cross. He would be mocked, and the people would gamble for His clothes, Psalm 22. And you could go on and on and on and on, and that book just fits together. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It will be right on time. There's a rapture and there's a revelation of Christ. And the rapture, we don't know when that's going to happen, but we know it's soon. Amen? And you know that by following prophecy and just seeing what's going on in the world today. But here's what most people think. 2 Peter 3:4, they say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You've been saying that forever. I remember when my wife and I got saved, and we went to the Jack Van Impe crusade, and he taught about the coming war with Russia, and he had all these prophetical things. And man, we were thinking, this was a lot of years ago. This was back in 1972. Just 5 years old, and they let us in, you know. But we're hearing all these messages, and we're thinking, man, sell everything. Let's go. You know, let's go to the mission field. And we surrendered because we wanted to do something for God. That was a long time ago. And He hasn't come yet. But I know this, God will come and He'll be right on time. When God decides to come, He's coming again. Amen. You know, all you have to do is read the Bible and read some prophecy, and it proves the Scriptures. You go to the book of Daniel, I think it's chapter 3 and chapter 7, it presents the four world kingdoms in two ways. And it starts out with Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. And then there's a revived Roman Empire, and you just get your mind and heart filled with all of this. And you go, man, that's some book. Amen. And we're talking about the birth of the Savior, the virgin birth of the Son of God. Doesn't that blow your mind? I mean, it's just so deep and so wonderful. But it's necessary to believe that, because that's how you come to the Savior, by seeing how He came to us. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. Watch ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. M.R. DeHaan in Grand Rapids used to say on his radio program, perhaps today, he's with the Lord now. But what if I die before the Lord comes? Have you ever thought about that? When I was younger, it was all the second coming. And then when you get older, you think, well, no, He might not come before I'm gone, you know? And listen to all these verses. Psalm 31:15, my times are in thy hand. Ecclesiastes 3:2, a time to be born and a time to die. Ecclesiastes 9:12, for man also knoweth not his time. Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Hebrews, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. I'm looking for the uppertaker, not the undertaker. Whoever said that, you know. Or maybe that's original. Maybe I just made that up. Amen. But, I mean, one day, I'm going to heaven. I'm either going in the rapture or, well, I'm going to go. I may die and I may have to be resurrected. But absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. That's a great thing. But here's the purpose of that. Psalm 90, verse 12. You know, I'm preaching this and I'm telling you about, you know, Daniel's prophecies and about the, you know, the prophecy that God gave to Abraham and all of that in the time. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? So that this book, the words will jump off the page. So it will reach our hearts. So we'll look at this and say, this is God's word. And like we talked about last week, some things are so trivial. And what's important? The unity of the faith, the unity of the spirit, so that we can win people to Christ, so that we can tell people how to be saved and pray for people and get connected with somebody. Amen? That's what is important here. And we do that. And so here's the answer. Psalm 90, 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Some of the papers I have here is a poem by Judy. And we just recently held her funeral. And she's got a stack of poems like that. I mean, she's got all kinds of poems. But she wrote this one, When Tomorrow Starts Without Me. And I won't read the whole thing, but she said, when tomorrow starts without me, of course, she's passed on. She's in heaven. Please try to understand that an angel came and called my name and took me by the hand. The angel said my place was ready in heaven far above and that I would have to leave behind all those I dearly love. But when I walked through heaven's gates, I felt so much at home. When God looked down and smiled at me from his golden throne, he said, this is eternity, and all I promised you today. For life on earth is done, but here it starts anew. And so our time on earth, one day will be done. Amen? One day it's going to be done. But for the Christian, man, what a blessing. We're going to be with the Lord. So Merry Christmas. Amen? Merry Christmas. Oh, Christmas. Man, the crowds and it's so commercialized, and I got to buy my brother this because he bought me this, and I didn't send all my cards out. And man, look at what we spent in stamps, just sending the cards out. I mean, we had to take out a loan just to send cards out. And you know, boy, if we don't send Aunt Mabel, I hope nobody here is Mabel, but if we don't send Aunt Mabel a card with a gift card in it, we are in trouble. My brother and I I'd send him a gift card to a certain place, Olive Garden. He would send me a gift card to Olive Garden. Same amount. And so we did that for 3 years. Can you imagine that? 3 years. Oh, I wonder what Pat got me, you know? And you open it up. And we finally, you know, I think I got a great idea. Why don't we not do this? You know, just Merry Christmas. Amen? Anyway. Okay, you do what you want. You do what you want. Merry Christmas. What is merry about Christmas? A Savior is born. That's what this is all about. Next Sunday, we're just praying that people will come to church that haven't come to church in a long time or maybe never, that know the Lord or maybe aren't close to the Lord now, but maybe they don't know the Lord. That's the prayer of our church. Merry Christmas. And how about Happy Easter? That's about the resurrection of the Lord. It's still part of the story, isn't it? He was born, he died, and he rose again. And he said, because I live, you shall live also. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now as Christ risen from the dead, I become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's something to be happy about. Amen. We look today at the babe in the manger. We look today at the crucified Savior on the cross. We look today at the coming King. It's all in there. And the babe in the manger is desirable. Oh, he's so cute, you know. And look at the animals, and, you know, away in a manger. Wasn't that good? Amen. Anyway, the manger is so desirable. Why? Because it was the promise of peace on earth. That's what it was. It was the promise of peace on earth. The coming King is desirable because finally there will be peace on earth when he comes. Peace, peace, where there is no peace. Without Christ, he's the Prince of Peace. Amen? And the fruit of the Spirit is peace. So many things. The crucified Savior, that's the cost of peace on the earth. That's the price that was paid. That is not so desirable for a lot of people. It's a cross. In Isaiah 53, 2, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. But to Christians, here's one song. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. And it says, so I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Christianity. What is Christianity? What is spirituality? It's loving God. It's believing God. It's serving God. It's being like God. It's letting Christ live through us. Amen? It's that light shining from us so that God is glorified. That's what this is all about. Such a blessing to be able to do that. The wondrous story of his birth, of his life, of his death, of his coming again. Psalm 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. You've heard it and you know it. And it says, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. There's songs like that, great songs. When he came the first time, Luke chapter 2, this was to the shepherds, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, this is what they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. The angels are singing. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. That was the message. And the shepherds are going, this is a good message. And they wanted to share it. When he comes the second time, Revelation 19:1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power be unto the Lord our God. Glory to God in the highest. Glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. But let's not forget the glory of the cross. Amen. That was in the beginning when he came, and when he's coming again, we're going to be happy. Amen. But what about now? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. We can glory in the cross. You know, I mentioned earlier in the beginning that it's unusual that Christmas is on a Sunday. Of course, it happens every so often. But it's not like Easter. It's always Easter Sunday. But you know, this Sunday is not Christmas Sunday and it's not Easter Sunday. But this is his day. This is the Lord's day. That's why we celebrate this. That's why we come to church on Sunday. It's not Saturday. That was the Sabbath rest. That was Israel. But this is the Lord's day, Revelation chapter 1 and other verses. So we get together today and we praise God. Amen. That's what we're doing here. Amen. Well, I don't know who fixed the treat today. I hope it's to your liking. But if it isn't to your liking, don't be critical of Sue, who made it. Amen? I mean, why are we here? Why are we here? We're here to strengthen one another, to love one another. Amen? Peace on earth, the best that we can do, peace on earth in this assembly, so that we can go home edified, encouraged. Amen? So that God can use us to speak to somebody during this day, during this week. Pray with us. We need these people to come hear the word of the Lord. I know somebody prayed for me before I was saved. Here's what it says. This is about the shepherds. This is so good. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They were stirred in their hearts by what they heard and what they saw. They physically saw it. They physically heard it. You have in Job chapter 42, you go through the whole book of Job, and there's all kinds of strife and all kinds of debates and arguments and whatever, but it comes to the end in chapter 42 and verse 5. This is what Job says. No self-righteousness here. The self-righteousness is left in the dust. But he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. We as believers are to walk by faith, not by sight. So we have the eye of faith. We see things, holy things, spiritual things, by faith. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Amen? So he spoke everything into existence. And I go, I didn't see that, but I see it in my mind's eye, and I go, wow. He spoke and created everything. That is amazing. We'll talk about the virgin birth. I know how to teach it from the scripture and why it had to happen, and there's a lineage in Luke, and there's a lineage in Matthew, and there's a reason for all of that. But when you come down to history and you see how God skipped over a curse, I mean, it's so involved, and you go, wow, I see why the Bible says it was a virgin birth. And you could go on and on and on. So we've heard, and you know what? You might have heard 1,000 sermons. You might have heard a Christmas message 1,000, 10,000 times, but until you see it, I mean see it. Well, no, I understand what the Bible says. No, I mean see it. Grasp it. Amen? This is magnificent. This is God in the flesh and doing all of this for me. Then when we see that, you can't help but praise God. This book is so miraculous. Amen? Turn anywhere you want to turn. It's such a blessing. What a blessing. One day we'll be, if you're a Christian, one day you'll be with the Lord in heaven. It'll be God's timing. It's going to be, we go early, we go later, but we're going. Amen? We're going to be with the Lord. Think about that one. You know, in the world you shall have tribulation, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. What's the verse I'm looking for, Richard? You got it yet? No? What is it? Oh, it's right there. No, hang on. I want to pull this out. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth until that day. The whole creation groans and travails. And these are difficult days. Amen? There's always something. But one day we'll be with the Lord, and there'll be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more anything but praise for God. Amen. There's Christmas Sunday, there's Easter Sunday, and there's this Sunday. And this is just important because the message is the message. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for your precious word. Lord, it's so, so deep, but yet so easy that even a child could hear it. I pray, Lord, that you'd fill our hearts with wonder, with amazement, with love for you, with glory for our God. Father, thank you for sending Jesus into this world. And I'm so thankful that I received him as my Savior. And I pray for all those, oh, neighbors, fellow workers, fellow countrymen that don't know, all the family that we talked about. I pray that they would come to know our Savior. Bless your word now. Bless our people. Bless our church. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.